when we shift into that place of gratitude for everything we have around us, well, there you go. You've won the lottery. I mean, you didn't get the however many millions it is that's in the, you know, in the winning ticket, but you got something greater in a sense. You know, coming from a place of scarcity and winning the lottery feels good, but then you wind up going back to that place of scarcity. When you shift over into that place of gratitude for everything that is available to you now, even that person who upset you so that you could work with your feelings, then it's really hitting the jackpot, because that's something you can't lose.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to this new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with me, I have Michael Messmer. After living with panic, anxiety, and negative self-talk, he shifted into a life free from being a victim to one of empowerment and joy filled with love. 10 years ago, he couldn't have imagined life would be this good. But now it is, and we'll talk about what he did to change things around and what role gratitude played in this process. Over the last 8 years, he's been coaching folks, helping them find their inner peace and stop struggling with their victim stories that keep them stuck in suffering. We will explore these topics and so much more in this interview. I want to bring Michael in front of you and let him tell you more about himself and about what he is doing. Michael, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Hi, Benton. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, my pleasure. So you can call me Georgian. It's okay.
Sorry, I've had that mixed up because I've seen it two different ways in emails.
Yeah, of course.
In my head, it didn't get straight yet.
No problem. So firstly, what I wanted to ask you is, what does gratitude mean for you personally?
Gratitude for me isn't just that sense of, you know, oh, I have to say please and thank you like we were taught when we were kids. And I really kind of remember that, you know, you'd get a gift from someone and mom would say, well, tell them thank you. And you'd say it, but you didn't really know what it meant. And what it means for me now is to really appreciate the value of interactions, of the interdependence of the world around us, whether it's, you know, with people that we know, people that we don't know, you know, so strangers that you might meet, but also with the earth and, you know, the universe, if you will. And I know that sounds a little woo-woo, but really, without the sun, we wouldn't be here. So we really have to have a deep appreciation for its light, its heat, for the way that that brings us food, warmth, the ability to live and have the life that we do. Without it, we'd be nowhere. And then, of course, there are all the relationships that we have. You know, I have a girlfriend, and she is just wonderful. Lauren really helps me in a lot of ways to kind of keep my head on straight some days, but also to be able to appreciate just the very little things that she does, you know, like when I go over to her house, what she has available or the time that she spends with me. And then I have grandchildren, and they're just such a great reminder of how to be right here in the present moment, because they're 4 and 2, and that's where they're at. They're in the present moment. I was just visiting them over the weekend. And even being able to appreciate that, my 4-year-old granddaughter was upset when I said, okay, we're going to do this one more time. We're going to play hide and seek one more time. And then I have to go talk to your mom. So we played hide and seek one more time. And I said, okay, I got to go talk to your mom now. And she was just angry. And she told us, really, I mean, angrily, just loud as she could be. And what I appreciated about that was that she could feel her feelings in that moment. And then I was able to appreciate how my daughter handled that. "Okay, you're angry," she said. "You could be angry right now." Instead of trying to quell her emotions, just allow that to play out. And then it's gone and she moves on with her day. So I was really able to appreciate how interact daughter gave to her daughter in terms of allowing her to have her feelings. So appreciation is really about noticing just everything and what our interdependences with it, how we feel about it, how we play a part in whatever is going on. And to be aware of that is the only way I can see to really be helpful. Because if we're not aware of it, then we're kind of stuck in our own story and we're not being helpful and we're just trying to get whatever it is that we want instead.
I love that. Two things I got from what you said that are really important in my opinion, and I've seen them in my experience as well. The idea of saying thank you, and many people think that this is gratitude, just saying thank you. And I truly believe that it is a part of it, but actually feeling the gratitude is a totally different story. Like we haven't been taught to actually feel the gratitude and actually experience what it is. So I'm hoping that people will be able to do that through this podcast, through stories like yours. And also another important part about what you just said is the part of about the feelings and living the feelings. I think it's amazing that your daughter has this perspective on feelings, and it's really interesting to see that and to acknowledge the fact that we have these feelings too. Like at times, like in that particular situation, if there were two grown-ups, probably if she would be a grown-up as well, she would feel the anger, but somehow she would toss it or she would just dismiss it and, I don't know, find a way to cope with it. And we go through these situations as well. And I believe that emotional intelligence, for instance, is very helpful with us actually acknowledging and becoming aware of these feelings, because they are in us whether we realize or we don't. And we just react many of them without actually being aware. And I think this is something powerful that we can look into.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. What's interesting about it is you talked about dismissing feelings. And when something comes up that's uncomfortable for us and we dismiss it or we try to hide it or we distract ourselves from it, it's often that we've been taught that it's not okay to feel that way, that feeling that way is bad or unacceptable to other people. And usually we learn that when we're kids. And so that becomes this background program that runs below our awareness level. And so we try to push things like anger or sadness or grief away. And then it builds up and we tend to explode. It comes out in unhealthy ways. Whereas when we begin to unearth it and bring it up and appreciate that that feeling has a message for us, and that we can allow it to be there and that it won't hurt us, it won't kill us, we can be thankful for it and thankful to it, hear what it has to say, and then it just tends to transform on its own. It doesn't really need us to do anything with it. And so that's another level of appreciation we can have deep within ourselves.
Yeah, I totally believe it. And I know that you are an EFT coach, And it has been the tool that we've used when we organized emotional intelligence groups here in Cluj. We used it to uncover feelings, emotions that were buried deep down, and do something about them, release them. So I know that it's such an important part of us being emotionally healthy and overcoming all kinds of challenges. I still use it. Can you tell us a little bit about EFT and emotional healing?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I came to EFT because I had all that anxiety. And I just had a friend who said, well, why don't you try my therapist? And I was like, oh, another therapist, right? But I knew I had to do something. I was so sick of feeling that way. And this therapist told me about this tapping thing. And, you know, that I would tap on these points and I would feel better. And of course, at the time, I wasn't very grateful for anything. I was kind of like skeptical about everything. And I just thought, I am not doing that. That is crazy. And I left. But what I came to was, you know, I've suffered with this all this time. It's been like 20 years I've had panic and anxiety. I should probably give this a try because nothing else has worked. And I was so surprised that when we worked on one small issue that I was angry about, that I started laughing about it and I couldn't get upset about it again. And then I began to use it with the therapist even more and on my own. And so what happens is, like I was saying, when we allow our feelings to be right there in front of us, that's really hard for people to do because we've been taught not to feel our feelings. So when you do the EFT, you are focused on the negative feeling and you're tapping on meridian endpoints or acupuncture points to kind of send another signal into your body. It's a calming signal. So let's say anger comes up and it's uncomfortable and you want to dismiss it. But when you tap through it instead of dismiss it, you're focusing on it. You're saying it's okay that it's there. And then it has that ability to transform on its own. Plus, internally, physically in the body, the signal you're giving calms the nervous system. So the parasympathetic nervous system comes in and says, oh, okay, everything's all right, after one or two or three or more rounds of tapping. And that feeling subsides and something else tends to rise up in its place, something that feels better. That can lead right into gratitude. We often use gratitude in a tapping round, especially at the end of any session, to just really help to start to cinch up what work we've done. So the tapping really has this great effect of stating the problem and saying, it's okay that it's here. I'm okay, even though there's this anger or this sadness or this grief. And then it allows it to transform.
I love it. I think it's a really powerful tool. And I've done it many times. And the thing is like this, when you try to feel grateful and you're in a state of depression or anxiety or grief, it's not really too easy to get to that feeling of gratitude unless you do something about the underlying feeling. Of course, one important step is to feel it, to give yourself the permission to feel it and to have the courage to go into that feeling and not repress it. But going forward, EFT is really a great technique. By the way, I know this might be too spontaneous, but could we do a round of EFT and maybe our listeners will be able to do so as well with us?
Sure. Yeah, I think that would be great. Did you have something specific you wanted me to use EFT for? Or? I imagine it was general, not personal.
Yeah. So I don't know, just for some kind of negative feeling. I don't know if it's something particular. Maybe, I don't know, people are usually going to work and listening to the podcast. Maybe that would be something useful for our listeners. But also what would be important is to, so I know the tapping points, of course, it would be great if you could say a few words about where they need to tap as well. And we can do this together and see how it goes.
Okay, sure. So, you know, I'm going to just kind of use anger as an example. You know, maybe somebody's angry at a friend or at something that happened at home this morning because they're on their way to work. And they're now thinking about it, even though they're listening to the podcast. But it could be any kind of a feeling that's intense that comes up and or situation. So to start with, you know, they're going to tap on the side of their hand below their pinky, where if you were to imagine you were making a karate chop and you were going to chop a board in half with your hand if you were into karate. And it's, so it's that fleshy part of the hand there. And as they tap there, they're just going to say something like, even though I have this anger about this situation, when they say it to themselves, they can just actually name the situation. So even though I'm angry because I spilled my coffee this morning all over my shirt and I had to go change it, this actually happened to me the other day, I deeply and completely accept myself. So just what I had said before about that, you know, here's this situation, I'm upset, but I don't want to be upset about it. And I'm okay. That's exactly what we're saying there. And then you say that three times, even though I'm angry about spilling the coffee this morning and I have to go change my shirt, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though I'm angry about spilling the coffee this morning and I have to go change my shirt, and now I'm going to be late for work and I'm frustrated on top of it. So you see how that builds. I deeply and completely accept myself. And once you've said that three times, then the way that I do it is I start by tapping on the crown of my head. And you're just going to repeat the situation. I'm so angry. I spilled the coffee on my shirt and I have to go change my shirt. And now I'm going to be late for work. I'm so frustrated about that. And then there's a point along the eyebrow where if you're right above the bridge of the nose, it's just the edge of the eyebrow. And as you're tapping there, you repeat again, I'm so angry I spilled the coffee on my shirt. How could I have been so stupid? And now I'm going to be late for work. And on the side of the eye, I'm running so late for work for changing myself. And that side of the eye point is really along the bone at the corner of the eye on the side of the face. And then the top of the cheekbone. I'm so angry about spilling this coffee. How could I have been so stupid? Why would I have done that? I should be more careful. And then directly under the nose, I am so angry about this. I wish I had just been more careful this morning. I made myself late for work. And then the chin point, which is the crease just below the lip. I'm so angry about this coffee spill. I was feeling so stupid after I did it. I made myself late for work and I had to change my shirt and it was my favorite shirt. And then the collarbone point is just really tapping alongside the collarbone on either side. I'm so angry. I still wished I hadn't done that. I can't believe I was so careless this morning. And then under the arm, which really, if you put your hand on the sidewall of your chest, it's just a couple inches down below the armpit. And you're tapping saying, I wished I had not spilled that. I'm so angry about it. How could I have been so stupid? And that's usually the last point. I actually use a last point if you're tapping right at the last rib. That's called liver spot. I'm so angry about this. I wished I hadn't made myself late. I feel like nothing is going to be okay. I might even get in trouble when I get to work. So as you're talking through it, all of these different things come up, you know, about like the consequences of having been careless and spilling the coffee on your shirt. So that what you want to do at the end of that, of course, is notice how you're feeling. Like notice where that level of anger is. Often we rate it on a scale of 0 to 10, you know, where 10 is I'm as angry as I could possibly be in zero as, oh, that really doesn't matter anymore. Everything's fine. I feel okay about it. I've accepted that, you know, I'm going to be late for work and that's that. So, and then it just can be any situation with any emotion around it that they can tap through to do that.
And afterwards, so you mentioned, yeah, so I know how it feels, and I know that the process is something like there is this situation, there is this feeling. I go deeper into that feeling, into that situation, and I realize why it's actually making me feel that way. And while doing this tapping, it gets easier, it gets lighter. And I don't know if you put something there, like instead of that feeling, something new. Of course, gratitude is much more accessible once you refresh your emotional health, let's say.
Yeah, it really is. So, you know, when you notice where that's at, so let's say you're angry and you estimated it at a level of an 8. Now you're feeling less angry. Maybe it's down around a 2 or a 3. You might tap another round on that just to finish it out, just to get, you know, rid of the anger. And of course, you can do as many rounds of tapping on it as possible. And one of the things that's interesting is that it might go up at first, but just keep tapping, it'll come down. And then when you're done, you can always do this round of, you know, even though I was so angry and I had to do this tapping on my way to work, I'm really grateful that I have this ability to feel my feelings and let them go so that I can be okay and move on with my day and it's not ruined. And then you're tapping, of course, on the karate chop point while you're saying that. And then you just move on to the other points, the top of the head. Ah, what a relief that I was able to tap and let go of this anger so my day isn't ruined. And then the side of, or the eyebrow point. What a relief. I'm so glad that I can move on with my day. I really appreciate that I have this tapping technique to help me and that I remembered to do it. And then the side of the eye. Really happy about this. I know that I have so many things to focus on today, and now I won't be focused on this problem that happened at home this morning where I spilled the coffee on my shirt and under the eye. I'm really looking forward to my day now. There are so many interesting things I have to do and work I need to get done, and I'll be able to focus on it. And I'm really grateful for that. And then under the nose, thank you for this tapping technique. Whoever invented it. And I really am glad that I was able to take care of this on my way to work and not carry this anger with me into my day. It really would have made the day difficult. And then the chin point. Thank you again. I really wish that everybody had this technique because I know I'm going to get to work and somebody's going to be upset about something. But I can be at peace with myself, even though I had this incident this morning. And then the collarbone point. I'm really grateful for the day ahead of me because it's not ruined. I'm looking forward to accomplishing the tasks in front of me and taking care of what I need to get done and being productive throughout the day and appreciating even what is about to come in my day and being open to all of that. And then under the arm, again, thank you for this opportunity to let go of this anger and be okay in this moment and look forward to the rest of my day. And know that if something else comes up, I'll be able to take a moment and let that go as well. And then that last spot, the liver spot. I'm so grateful that there's this ability, this technique I can use to really feel okay and let go of things that would get in my way of being helpful and productive throughout the day as I do the things I need to do.
Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share that.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm hoping that our listeners were able to do this as well. One thing that I think might be useful, it's not something that you would usually do, like if you're at the office or maybe driving. where could our listeners do it? Of course, at home, that's a safe environment and everything is okay. I'm thinking about, for instance, going to the bathroom so that other people won't stare.
Sure. So that's actually funny. So, you know, people are taking all kinds of modes of transportation. And I actually do tap when I drive if I need to. And so that's really kind of more of a, I'm focused on driving, but I'm just kind of one-handed tapping. Not so focused that I can't put my hand back on the wheel if I'm driving. If you're unabashed, you could certainly do it on the bus or in a taxi cab, you know, or if you've got an Uber taking you to work or whatever it is, or if you're walking to work. So, you know, those are places you can do it. And you mentioned the bathroom, and it's funny because when I worked in an office years ago after I had learned tapping, if something came up, I would take a few moments and go to the bathroom stall and tap. You know, I mean, nobody's looking at you in there. You can just be in there and tap for a few minutes until you feel ready to go back to your desk or whatever the work is you have to do, and then move on with your day. So, and then there are other places like the building that I worked in, you know, there were, you know, there was a parking garage. So sometimes I would go out in the parking garage and do that. I remember actually taking a coworker with a migraine out into the parking garage and helping her with that. And we just kind of went to a private corner of the parking garage. Nobody could see what was going on. And we did this tapping and she was able to return to work and, you know, felt much better after that. So there are just, you know, kind of looking for these little places, maybe a conference room, if there's an empty conference room without windows and shut the door. So, you know, you can kind of be about that. The other interesting thing is you can tap on your fingers and there are meridian points there. So if you're at your desk, you can just kind of tap, you know, with both fingers on both sides of your fingers so that you're, you know, you don't have to worry about where that meridian point is so much. And just think to yourself what the problem is, what you're angry about, what you're sad about, whatever it is that's come up as you're saying those things to yourself in your head. And then it's not so obvious. And you can, even if you're confronted in a meeting, be doing that in your lap under the desk while you're coming back to presence and listening to what's going on. Because, you know, there are so many personalities and offices and whatnot that, you know, there can be a kind of like this firing back and forth at times and some upset may rise up. And that can be really helpful in a meeting. So there's a number of places that you can just go and tap and that are available.
Yeah, I think this is really useful. I didn't know about the finger tapping. Sometimes you can't do the normal tapping, the classical one. And having this is really useful because we don't really have too many... too much education on how to deal with emotions. Like many times, these emotions that are not dealt with, like you said, may come up in situations where we don't want them to come up. Also, they might lead to addictions of different kinds that are not healthy for us as well. And dealing with them as soon as possible, I think this is something very useful for us. And of course, like we did the tapping a few minutes ago, the fact that we can do something with those negative emotions opens us up to gratitude, to feeling the positive emotions and to experiencing better things in our life. Because otherwise, we have the tendency to react, right? Like to be really reactive, like when we're angry, for instance, and to do stupid things, basically.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, reactionary modes, we often do, like you said, stupid things. And they're usually pointed outwards at someone else in a sense of blame. When we tap, we can turn that around. So if someone has said or done something that's triggered us inside, after we've done the tapping, after we've gotten back through that emotion. One of the things that we can really be grateful for is that they presented us with a situation where we could look inside ourselves and take responsibility for our own emotions and even the source of that and work with that. So they're really providing us with an opportunity. When we're just stuck in that reactionary mode, we're often blaming the other person. It's their fault I feel this way. And really, no one can make you feel any particular way, especially as an adult. And it just becomes this sense of, after we've done the work, I'm really grateful that person did that because I didn't know that was brewing inside of me. And so you can feel the appreciation then of what they did for you, even if they said something nasty, were inappropriate in some way. But when those feelings are processed, then you can have the gratitude for that.
Our tendency is, of course, at times at least, to blame other people. But there is such power in taking responsibility. And I'm not talking about blame. I'm talking about the responsibility for our emotions and for our reactions, because that is within our power, within our responsibility, and we can do something about them. And that when we think about that and we do it, it's quite amazing. Like, we feel that we can do so many things, and that the exterior and other people really can't make us feel one way or another. And it's really powerful. But can you tell us a little bit about abundance and gratitude? Like, sure. I know that you have some interesting ideas about this, and I would love to hear your thoughts about this.
Yeah, one of the things that gratitude and appreciation leads us to is a sense of abundance. So oftentimes we were talking about being in that reactionary mode, and you mentioned how I had felt like a victim for so many years. When we're in that victim state, it's kind of, we feel like there's not enough for us, or we're not enough ourselves, and we can't see it, you know, because we're actually inside that experience. Once we're able to step outside that experience with whatever method you use, EFT obviously is a great one to work with those things, and begin to appreciate our own abilities, our own relationships, and what there really is around us, it's like we've already hit the jackpot. So if you think about somebody who's feeling a real sense of scarcity, and maybe they're spending money on gambling. And one of the things I can think of is like the lottery. So I have known people who would buy lottery tickets, and you could see it was a little bit of a joke, but they really hoped they would win the lottery and it would solve all of their problems. When we shift into that place of gratitude for everything we have around us, well, there you go. You've won the lottery. I mean, you didn't get the however many millions it is that's in the, you know, in the winning ticket, but you got something greater in a sense. You know, coming from a place of scarcity and winning the lottery feels good, but then you wind up going back to that place of scarcity. When you shift over into that place of gratitude for everything that is available to you now, even that person who upset you so that you could work with your feelings, then it's really hitting the jackpot, because that's something you can't lose. And you begin to notice what the abundance is around you. You realize what the relationships in your life have to offer to you. You realize what you have to offer to those people and those relationships. You can begin to think about the things that are all the way down the line. So whenever you sit down to a plate of food, you can think about where that food came from. You know, how many people had to do so much to put that food on your plate, from the person who planted the seeds on the farm, to the harvesters, to the trucks that brought it to you, the people who drove the trucks, the people who stocked the shelves in the farmer's market or the grocery store. And it, there's just this amazing system of how asparagus gets on your plate or how broccoli gets on your plate. And when you appreciate the efforts of everyone who brought that to you, then, you know, there's this great abundance. It's not just, you know, oh, I have so much money, or, oh, you know, I have this big house or this big car, and not think any further about it. Because if you don't think any further about it, those things are fairly meaningless. And it's not just, you know, well, I have lots of friends, but it's thinking about, you know, what are your interactions with that friend? What do you appreciate about them? How do they enrich your life? And then thinking about how you might enrich their life as well. What gifts do you have to offer? And it actually makes me think about the book Nyakon. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. Can you repeat, please? What's the name? It's
Nyakon, N-A-I-K-A-N. It's the Japanese practice of gratitude. And the book is by Greg Kresh. And the practice is really just digging deeply into three questions. What have I received from this person? And you make a list of what all the things are that they did for you, and you contemplate that. What have I given to that person? You make a list of what you've given to that person. And then you kind of notice, like, is your list bigger than their list, or is your list smaller than their list? And often what you find as you start this practice is that your list is much smaller than what you've received. And then the third question is, what troubles and difficulties have I caused to that person? And that's something to work through in terms of, you know, noticing your behavior of, you know, what have you done to someone versus what have you offered someone? And that's really kind of their practice. And it's a pretty deep practice. Like, they'll spend a week in a retreat. And this great crush actually runs some of these retreats where people will spend a week doing this, and they just contemplate this in silence as they go through each person in their life. I might have gotten a little far away from your question, but wherever that came from, that led me to thinking about that book. And that book was really helpful to me in terms of just noticing, what are my interactions with all the people that, you know, I've met in my life? And of course, I haven't done it with all the people. That's a pretty big task, but with quite a lot of them, I have.
Yeah, no problems. It's really a great idea, and I didn't know about this, so I will definitely look into it. We are nearing the end of our time together, and I wanted to ask you, who are you grateful for? Who are the people in your life that made the difference that you're grateful for?
Yeah, well, earlier, you know, we mentioned my granddaughters, who just always remind me to be in the present moment, because that's right where they're at. I'm obviously grateful for my girlfriend, Lauren, and my children. One of the things I'm grateful for my children for are they constantly challenged me. You know, we had this blind rule growing up for me that was you weren't allowed to sing at the supper table. And I was one of six kids. And I think the rule was about just trying to quell the chaos at the supper table. But I took that rule, and I, you know, my kids would sing at the supper table, and I only had three kids. Like, you're not allowed to sing at the supper table. Don't do that. And they challenged me one day, you know, and they did this a lot throughout their growing up. Well, why aren't we allowed to sing at the supper table? And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, why not? And then I had to process that. And then the next thing you know, we're all singing songs at the supper table, you know, and having fun with it. And it really kind of like transformed suppers in a way for us that they challenged me on that. So I really appreciate them for, you know, everything that I was able to learn. They really put a mirror in front of me, in a sense, to look at my own crazy stuff in my head and go, oh, yeah, that's really kind of silly and not true, and just appreciate them for that. And I have some business associates that have really helped me along the way, just really pushed me to to, you know, get back into this and do the things I need to do as well. And so I really appreciate their support and their pushiness and their efforts and the ability to meet with them and have them as friends. So those are a few people. There are many more.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. So thank you so much for sharing your list of people you're grateful for and your story. I really appreciate that. Where can our audience find you? Where can our audience see your work?
Sure. So my website's michaelmesmer.com. That's currently where I've built out the offerings that I have in terms of EFT coaching. So that's the main place they can find me. I'm on Facebook as well. I can't really think of the right link for that, but I'll send it to you.
Okay. We'll have it in the show notes page.
Sure. Good. So, you know, those are a couple places that they can find me. I think those are actually the perfect places if you're looking for me to find out about me a little more and contact me if they wish.
And you have there also something about abundance and gratitude, I think.
Yeah. So I created a report called Abundance Through Gratitude. It's a several page report that can be downloaded for free. I can get you the link for that as well if you're interested.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Awesome. I'll send that off to you after we're done with the show.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being here with us and for sharing so much of your wisdom, experience, and stories. I really appreciate it. And I hope you will have an amazing day today.
Thank you, George. And I really appreciate your taking the time to have me on your show. It's always good. In fact, it really feels good to just talk about this stuff kind of bring even, you know, not just for your audience, but for me and you, that feeling of gratitude and appreciation right there in front of us.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. Help us reach our goal of inspiring 100,000 people by sharing this podcast with your loved ones, with your Facebook friends. And if you loved this episode, please write a review on iTunes.